back to our study of practical teaching for daily living. And we left off talking about prayer, the pattern for prayer. And in particular, we had just started talking about Jesus giving us a pattern to follow when we pray. And Pete's going to walk us through this. I'm on letter F on page 15 of your study guide. And what we're going to do, we're going to begin this evening by talking about what Jesus taught us about a pattern that we may follow when we pray.
You going to read it?
Sure. Verse 9, chapter 6, Matthew. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Now, this is a very different translation. Your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now what we're going to find is that this is not, and forgive me if I'm overstepping here.
No, you're fine.
This is not a prayer that we should memorize and recite without understanding what we're saying. And I grew up that way, where we were taught to memorize the Lord's Prayer. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to have that foundation. I'm grateful that I have this in my memory, in my heart. But the problem is that these, when I was growing up, these were just words to me that I said. I didn't understand what I was saying and why I was saying these words. I was just told to memorize it and recite it. And we recited at a certain time during the service. So, there's so much more to this pattern. There are principles here for us to glean and to put into practice with prayer. I've mentioned this several times before, and I'm going to say it again because it's in my heart and I know it to be true. Prayer is so very powerful. It is a very powerful weapon. But there's a legality to it. There's principles that need to be followed. You think about this. How many times, now I'm going to say this and forgive me if I step on your toes. How many times have you prayed a prayer and it didn't come to pass? Well, I know it's happened to me before. I know it's happened to me because I prayed outside of the will of God. I didn't understand what His will was, so I was focused on my flesh, and I was focused on how the Lord could help me with my fleshly desires. But keep in mind that God is spirit. He's not going to deal with the fleshly desires, you understand. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. So when we talk about this prayer, and when Pete goes over and discusses the ins and outs of this pattern, listen with your spiritual ears, because there are spiritual principles to be gleaned. Number one, we need to recognize who it is, just who is it that we're praying to, that we're kneeling before.
You know, I think probably it's safe to say most people, when they think of praying as just audible words that you say, that you formulate, some people write out their prayers, coming out of thought and coming out of reason. And yet Ephesians, the 6th chapter, tells us to pray always in the Spirit. But most people pray out of the head, not out of the Spirit. And so the setting here is Jesus' disciples are asking him, teach us to pray like John's disciple, like John taught his disciples to pray. And so this is not a formula. This is, like Heather was saying, this is principle. This is a prayer principle. Okay? And you have to realize that God is Spirit. John 4:24 says God is Spirit. And if you're going to worship God, it will be in Spirit. Well, if you're going to communicate with God, it'll be in Spirit. Now, that's not to say that you can't say words, verbalize, but if those words are not coming out of the inward man, you're not communicating with God. You're just talking to yourself. And a good example of this is when the Pharisee and the publican, you know, are praying. The Pharisee, actually, I like the way it says he prayed to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like this. He's just praying out of his head. Well, it's not going anywhere. But the publican, just out of his heart, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He said he went to his house justified. Why? Because it was a spiritual prayer. The other guy was just talking to talk. You understand? And that's the way a lot of people pray. They talk to be heard. They pray to be heard. They like to put all those words in and get real wordy in the prayer. It's just to be heard. We have to start learning to pray out of the Spirit. Now, with all that in mind, I want us to look at this from a just phrase-by-phrase perspective. When I played baseball, before every game, we all got in a circle and said the Lord's Prayer, and nobody had their mind on the Lord. We were just wanting to get the game started. You understand? We didn't even know what was going on. But Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father. Our Father. Okay? Now that tells me a whole lot. And if you look at the 16th chapter of John, Jesus has said, he says something to this effect. Up to now, you've not asked the Father for anything. But from now on, you go to the Father in my name. You make your petitions to the Father. You make your request. And I'm not telling you that I'm going to intercede to the Father for you, because the Father will hear you. If you go in my name, the Father will listen to you. But if you go in his name, you're going to be praying according to his will. And not just the foolish stuff that we pray for and all this thing of our desires of the flesh, okay? So it says our Father. Jesus is introducing God in a way that the people up to that point had never known God. All this religious arena, they did not know God as Father. They knew God as God. God is someone that's going to jerk the slack out of you. God is a God of rules and regulations. That's how they knew God, but not God as Father. And sadly, most of my church life growing up, that's how I knew God. God is God, not God as Father. I didn't know God as one who loved me so much that he didn't want me to get beaten up. I always thought he wanted to beat me up, because I made my share of mistakes, you understand. But it's our Father. Now, what's the Father? The Father's a protector. The Father's a provider. And the Father's a corrector. And so when I go to the Father God, I'm thinking of him. I want to make a petition. And if I make this petition in Jesus' name and I'm asked according to the will of God, Father is more than willing to give me what I ask. But James says, you have not because you ask not. And then you pray and ask, and you ask amiss. You're asking for fleshly stuff. And so your prayer is not getting answered because you just want to consume it on you. And that's not what this is about. We're talking about spiritual now, not natural. So it's our Father, and then He identifies where He is. Heaven. Later on, Jesus said, don't call any man your father. Interesting, isn't it? No, we have a Father in heaven, yet there are certain churches that will, the person over the church, that want him addressed as Father. I will not do that. I will not call him Father. Not out of disrespect, out of respect for God. You with me? So our Father who's in heaven, He's not on earth. He's in heaven. You understand? That's telling me He's not like men. Men have all, they're fickle. Have you ever noticed that? Human beings are fickle. You catch them on a good day, you can get stuff. You catch them on a bad day, you can't get it. No, God doesn't have bad days. God never changes. God is consistent. So we're praying to a consistent Father who is looking out for the best interest of His children. Our Father who's in heaven, sacred, hallowed is sacred. Your name is sacred. It's not one to be taken in vain. Remember? But yet how many people just frivolously use the name of God in little bywords and phrases? That's taking God's name in vain. It's not the cussing. I don't recommend it. But taking God's name in vain is using His name when it's not going to produce anything. So our Father who's in heaven, sacred is Your name. Your kingdom come. Now we're looking at a spiritual kingdom, not a natural kingdom. This is where the Israelites missed it. When Jesus came, they were looking for a natural kingdom. They were looking for God to set up a throne and overthrow all these evil perverts. Get rid of these Romans. And that's what people are thinking today, right? Get rid of all these perverts out here. Kill them, Lord. No. He says, your kingdom come. Where's it going to come from? Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. Mark, Luke, and John call it the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven tells you that it's a kingdom that originates in heaven, not on earth. Kingdom of God tells you that men don't own the kingdom, God rules the kingdom. You with me? Your kingdom come. Your heavenly kingdom come on earth. Now, how's that going to happen? It's a spiritual kingdom. So how's that going to happen? Well, Luke 17:21, actually verse 20, he says the kingdom of God is not coming with observation. It's not coming to where you can see it with your physical eyes. 21, he says the kingdom, 20 says that. 21 says that the kingdom of God is in you. In you. So this spiritual kingdom that we're praying for, God, your kingdom come on earth. Well, how's it going to get there? People are going to have to open their hearts to God. And so it would not be right for me to pray for God's kingdom to come on earth if I'm not willing to submit to God's kingdom. Now let me say it this way. It's not right for me to pray for God's kingdom to come on earth if I'm not willing to submit to the Spirit of God. Because God's kingdom rules by the Spirit. You follow me? So this is why there's such a depth in this, that Jesus giving them a simple thing, but it has profound depth. Your kingdom come. Rule in me here on earth. Now, this is what the body of Christ is all about. The body of Christ is supposed to be ruled by God. And so the kingdom of God is coming into the body of Christ because the body of Christ is spiritual. The kingdom of God is not coming into the natural kingdoms of the world. That's not what it's about. This is not about natural. This is about spiritual, which in the Spirit has rule over the natural. You follow me? So God is ruling. First, He has to get control of me. If He's going to rule through me, He has to rule me, in me. And so this is what Jesus is telling this man. You pray that God's kingdom comes and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how's God rule in heaven? With His Word. How do you think He rules on earth? With His Word. But we don't want to read the Word. But those that don't read the Word will not be ruled by God. Those that are not filled with the Spirit of God cannot be ruled by God. Because it's the Spirit of God that leads you and guides you through the will of God. And so to say, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, but I don't want your Holy Spirit, is an oxymoron. I mean, so opposite, because He rules by the Spirit. So you come in me and you rule me by your Spirit. Rule Heather by your Spirit. Rule Kim. Rule Stephen. Rule us. You understand? Arthur, Paula, any individual, rule us. Rule us. Lord, I want you to rule me. I sure goofed up my life. Any of you ever, you get a witness on that? You tried to rule it and you messed it up. But let the Spirit of God rule. And yet I don't understand all the things about the Spirit of God. Isaiah 55 says His ways are higher than mine. His thought, God does not think like I think. How about you? He's higher. He's superior. He knows more than we know. We see right now tunnel vision. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows all the in-betweens. So who do you think can rule better? Obviously He can. Right? So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me the day. Not the year. Not forever. Give me today my daily bread. And I'm going to put something in here. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. It's even in Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Give me today. Give me the word that I need for today. Feed me spiritually today. Feed me your word today. Don't just look at this thing naturally. My daily bread, my spiritual food, as well as the other. You understand? But don't leave out any of it. Take the whole deal. If I'm going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I need to be hearing God on a daily basis. Not once in a while. You follow me? That's why it's so important to read the Bible daily. God will speak to you right out of this Bible if you'll read it daily. So I'm going to say, give me today my daily bread, but I don't want to read today. No, we have to. We have to subject ourselves. So give me today my daily bread. Lead me not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Lead me not into temptation. Where does the temptation come? It's always the flesh. The temptation is always coming at the flesh. I'm not wanting you to lead me by the flesh, but lead me by the Spirit. That's where your kingdom's ruling, in my spirit. So lead me by the Spirit. And deliver me from evil. You understand? If you're led by the Spirit, you will be delivered from the evil. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And all the glory is yours. You see the principle in this? It's not just saying the Lord's Prayer, but it's following the principle of the Lord's Prayer. Recognizing who Father is. Recognizing this is a kingdom that's superior to any kingdom you'll ever know. You with me? And the sacredness of who the Father is, the name, and all this, and that God wants to rule in me. I'm on earth. This is earth. This thing's made out of dirt. Right? So rule this. And if you're ruling this, and this, and this, and this, and this, then you're ruling the body of Christ, the will of God's going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't it? Now, there's a couple other verses that could be read with that. As a matter of fact, I may just do that. 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. No, that's a little twist in there. How do you want to be forgiven? Then forgive that way. You want God to hold a grudge against you? Then you release anybody if anything, any wrong they've ever done to you. Forget it. That's a principle. How you want God to treat you. And so it's not going to do me any good to pray all this stuff and then hold something in my heart. The psalmist says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God doesn't hear my prayer. You know why? Because your heart's condemning me, so you don't have confidence. And that's why most prayers aren't answered, is because people are not praying in faith. They don't have confidence because there's stuff going on the inside of them. Well, I don't know if God will hear me or not, you know, after what I did an hour ago or a day ago, a week ago, and I'm not the best kid on the block, so God might not hear me today. You with me? Get this stuff out of you. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayer life. He tells you in Peter, 1 Peter, I think it's the 3rd chapter, where he's talking about wives submit. Then he says to the husbands, give honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered. You understand? How you treat people will affect your prayer life. So when you go before God, you go with a pure heart. You go clean. And if there's anything not right, leave your gift at the altar. Get it right first. You follow me? Because God's not interested in how many sacrifices you give to Him. He's looking for a pure heart, a clean heart. And so when our heart's clean, John says, 1 John the 3rd chapter, if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. And He knows all things. So fess up. You understand? God already knows it anyway. Admit it. But then in the 5th chapter, verses 14 and 15, He says, you know, if you pray according to the will of God, your heart's not condemning you. You pray according to the will of God, God hears you. And if you know God hears you, well, how do I know? I prayed the will of God. Then He says you have confidence that whatever you ask is granted to you. You following? So it all starts with a clean heart, right? So when we go before God, we start praying, our Father, is He your Father? He's not unless you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You follow me? And so there's a lot to this. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're in the family of God. If you're in the family of God, you can pray to Father God and expect those prayers to be answered because you prayed them according to the will of God and you went there in the name of Jesus, not in your own name, not in how good you are. I've heard people say, and you may have, my tithes are in the storehouse, and I've done this, and I've done that. My conscience is clean. You think God's going to hear you off your works? Because that's what you're saying. God, you give that to me because I deserve it. You're not going to get anything. You already have your heart wrong. You've got to get your heart right before God. Be merciful to me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. You understand? I want you to rule in my life. I want to do what you want done. We're not going with a carnal mindset. We're not thinking about flesh. You with me? But when we get it right, we'll be praying spiritual prayers, not natural prayers. Follow me? We probably want to stop there and take a break because we are back on schedule. Okay?